I almost could not make it today because I had a hard time last night. There was a battle. I was so tired, I decided to go to bed early because the Friday night I couldn't sleep because he's already having problems on Friday. But last night, I went to bed at 9 o'clock. And after some prayer and meditation, I probably knock off. And I woke up at 10:30, 1 hour later, feeling my brother is full. So the moment I get up, whoom, the whole thing started moving. It was so terrible feeling that it almost feel like going to a cycle of my life just draining away, you know. I sat down, meditated a while again and talked to the Lord. And then I tried to lie down to bed, couldn't sleep because the heart was just beating very bad. And I waited for a while, quite a long while. And I looked at the time. Oh, goodness me, it's already 12 midnight. Almost 12 midnight. I was thinking that I need to call maybe Michael to get me to a hospital. But I was struggling. I said, it's too late at night. I don't want to bother him. And I really had a, you know, conversation with the Lord, and the human mind is like that. I said, I want to go. I feel like going. It's not the tumor here, it's the heart. The pain and the tumor is one thing. You can bear it because it comes. But this battling, you make you go this way, you go this way. And I feel like any time this heart is going to stop and be done. So, I went to bed and just ignore the whole thing, just pray and just pray to the Lord. And after that, around 3, 4 o'clock, I woke up again. He said, start again, you know. I tried to learn to just slow down to breathe. And then I get a stab in the heart, pop, like one big knife near where the heart is. So I don't know whether that is the heart or whether it's the pain that radiated from a tumor that goes to an intercostal muscle. Because it's just where the position of the heart is. You know where the heart is? You just put your hand like this. So it's just this area here. So I don't know. It was painful. I said, oh! And I was groaning in the bed. And so let me go. You know, I can see that when this kind of step comes, I can see how people who are heart attack. The whole heart is being gripped and you just collapse. You know? So I know that my heart is in problem with my heart, how bad is my heart, is found that further research, you know, on my own, I found that my gut bacteria, the good gut bacteria, was destroyed because of the purging. I restored it back with all this probiotic, and it's much better, but from what I've discovered, there are so many different kinds of bacteria in your guts. And if there's not enough bacteria for a certain, I mean, there's not enough of a certain kind of bacteria, it can cause problems. Like one of that, I found out was, if you don't have enough of that certain kind of bacteria, it doesn't produce serotonin. You know, make you feel good, in a mood, you know. What? And there's not enough bacteria for a certain kind of bacteria that produce certain chemical that feed your heart, or feed your lungs, or your liver. So in this case, I saw what a man who went for an examination, doctor told him, this is a problem we have, try to take sauerkraut, try to take kimchi, try to take natto, try to take kombucha, But on the other hand, we found that this kind of food, fermented food, contains a very high chemical called tyramine. And you also create problems in the body. So you take this, you get problem for this other problem. You know, they create this, problem for another place. If you don't take it, you have this problem. I says, wow. I think the whole, many of us, our body are so messed up. So anyway, this morning I got up. I got up very slowly. And just meditate. Try to breathe. I got up early. In fact, I got up at six something. And I said, Lord, I want to go. But when the pain, when the flutter started to come again, I said, should I go? Should I not go? You know, maybe I just go to the hospital instead. But then I was thinking about the pulpit. And I always told the Lord, I want to be here at the pulpit. That's my place. And I got a text message this morning. I saw it. The apostle is not here, not be here because he is on staycation. Alright, so he's not here. So I was wanting to talk to some of you brothers who are holding the, who are wanted to be fully involved. I don't know when I'm going. I want to tell you this. And I told the Lord, I want to prepare everything. If you want to take me, but I want to prepare first. I don't know. That is why I wonder why this book, Philippine, is being taught. Because there's so much thing that Paul's heart was there. You know? And as the Bible says, smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. And so if I'm gone, I wonder whether this church will be still around. Because already a lot of brothers and sisters are losing their faith. Yes? The care for this life out there more important than the things of God. And do you know what's going on in the world today? Yeah, okay. The enemy is almost over. Now you've got Ebola out there again, surfacing Uganda and Kenya. And then we have Israel already found out. They have, I think, five red Haifa. And they want to keep on examining it to make sure that there's no black hair or white hair on that Haifa. Because they're going to do a sacrifice for the coming third temple. And now they are building a train to Israel, third temple being built. Now they are going to look forward to that. How many more years? And I was looking for Israel cannot go beyond 2028. Because there's 80 years. You know? And here we are. I said this. The world up there looks a bit mess. The second beast came on lying and cooking up stories and undermine Russia, undermine Turkey, undermine China, all the economy thing. China is just doing their own business. And the election is coming at the end of this year. They're going to be a problem. And I'm just thinking, Lord, how long? Just like Israel, the souls under the altar and the fifth seal. How long, O Lord, will you take vengeance? But this is the question, how long, O Lord, will you bring forth the prophecy in the book of Revelation coming to pass as soon as possible? How long will it take? I don't know. Look at America today. You have a hurricane. I think Hurricane Ian, or the coin, whatever. And Sister Bree already had I think she told me, if I'm not mistaken, that twice had a dream or visions of this problem over there in the East Coast. Don't tell me we have still years to go, another generation to go. I don't think so. I'm born 1948. I'm Israel. I will look at my age. I'm Israel. Though Israel is younger than I am. I'm in January, they are in May. I'm looking at my age. 74. 6 years more. Or five, less than 6 years more. I'll be 80 years old if I live to see. Yeah. And I'm wondering what is God doing? And we have brother and sister here losing their faith, looking at the things of the world and not coming to church anymore. They grow cold. What is happening? The Bible did not, but the Bible tells us, the Bible said, in the end time, many will lose their faith, they'll grow cold. Huh? They'll grow cold. And if we don't want to keep up with the word, keep up with our life in the word of God, I think there's going to be a lot of unforeseen thing that comes upon us. I don't know how the Lord is dealing with each and every one of us. We are His children. I know some of us here going through a lot of health crises because many of us are, you know, in the senior years. Less than half are in the younger years. Yeah. The only thing I do is I just look to the Lord. Let His will be done. So let us just go straight to the Word of God. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, that I could come here today. I could stand here. I want to be faithful, Lord, as I always help. To manifest the gift that You have given me. The gift, O Lord, that You have given to the body of Christ. To those whom You have sent me to those whom You have caused to see the ministry of the Word of Life. So I thank You, Father. Now that as we approach the Word, Lord, break it down a little for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3. We dealt with this concision last week. And why in how that is concision people, they mutilate the Word of God. They would twist the Word of God. They will come up with some kind of a revelation of their own and draw disciples after themselves. But the problem is, these people who are known as, Paul called them the concision manipulator, or what do you call that? Mutilator. It's all because of the falling onto the Lord of God often. And they're twisted. And the people are so trusting in the flesh. And that's what Paul then tells us in verse 4. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anybody, other man, thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now here Paul listed out. Maybe I should now sit on the chair. Bear with me, right? Now Paul can boast because he actually fulfilled practically every part of the law. He said, yeah, I circumcised the eighth day. And I told you last week, circumcision is always on the eighth day, done according to the law. So, but if you are born on the Sabbath day, and you have been circumcised on a Sabbath day, and you know, according to the law, Sabbath day is a day you don't work. So you have to be circumcised on the ninth day. So then you didn't fulfill the law. And there are some other reasons some people don't circumcise on the eighth day, the circumcised on the other day because of the health or whatever the baby is. So but Paul can boast that he was circumcised on the eighth day. And of the stock of Israel. He said of the stock means, when you say you are the stock of Israel, it means very pure. You know what I mean? True blue blood stock line of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin, well, a small tribe, but well known for the tribe ability as a good warrior. Besides, you know, King Saul was from there. And Hebrew of the Hebrews is not a Hellenist Jew or something like that, speaking pure Hebrew, and as touching the law of Pharisees. Now, if you are being a Pharisee among this religious leader, you're quite something. You know, I mean, it's just like the Catholic Church. I mean, there's a lot of, a lot of things that are being done in the name of, well, of God or the Bible. They have their own Christian dogma and tradition, a lot of things that they have initiated for those who wanted to be priests or those who wanted to be nuns. And if you were to read into some of the history, some of the testimony that were given by nuns and priests, how the number of years that they were there, how they saw the evil that were there, the filth that they were there. Of course, they would deny it, but there has been testimony by nuns and priests who came out and told the whole story. The one biggest one was the book of the priest whose name is called Father Charles Jenke. 50 years in the Church of Rome he served, and he saw all the things being done in the name of God of heaven, in the name of Christ of the Bible. When I read the book the first time many years ago, I cried. I couldn't believe it. When there are nuns that came out the road, testimony after they were able to escape from that. After writing the book and it was published, this nun, her name is Charlotte. 2 years later, she disappeared, never to be found. There's a lot of things that's been done in the name of religion. Because people does not know God, the true living God, So the ideas of what life is, what religion is their own boom and fancy and coming up with something that satisfies their own flesh. So as Paul here said, as touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. If you want to be a Pharisee, like some can be a Wakale, or desire to be a priest, it's something great. Some family, parents prayed, let my daughter, Lord, be a nun, and let my son be a priest. That is something great. You know? And sometimes went to a convent, something happening secretly. Something very, very evil is happening. But here was Paul, he was Pharisee. He wanted to serve the Lord. He kept the Ten Commandments, he kept all the law, everything. And he went, and he said, what? I'm a Pharisee. I reached that standard. Can you compare to me? Can you consider and compare to me? I have all these things fulfilled. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. I mean, can he, Paul, really be blameless in a sense that's been touching the law? Because never, the Bible tells us that the law pointed to us that we have sinned. We don't know sin until the law came. That's what Paul was teaching them. So what was Paul talking about? Touching the law was blameless. As simple as this. All the commandments he kept, all the ritual he kept, when he make any mistake, he repent. He commit a sin, he do a sacrifice. So that's why he's blameless. I will do that. You see, but there are Christian people that don't do that. There's a lot of lies in people. You know, if you have sinned against a brother, what would you do? You go and meet right with him. If you think evil thoughts or doing something against a brother, and few people know that you are doing that, and yet you try to twist and turn and says, no, that's not what I do. No, no, no. But if you were to commit secret sin, nobody knows, then you say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. But yet you cannot confess your sin. So brother said, I'm so sorry, brother. I think about thoughts of you. I said something about you. I did something about you. What, things like that. No. But Paul did it. Every time he was, you know, just says, I'm blameless. Has touching the Lord. The Lord said this. I'm guilty. Yes. I will repent. I will make a sacrifice, whatever is necessary according to the law. And he says what? Concerning zeal, yeah. I persecute the church. You talk about zeal. Well, let's see what Romans 10, 1 to 3. Very important, will you come in and read it?
Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
Right. You see this thing? They have zeal, but they don't have the true knowledge. And it is the same today. Let's not talk about the denom. Let's just talk about the people in the end time message. There are so many end time message churches. They have no idea what they believe. They have a lot of zeal. Oh, thank God for Brother Branham. And they will quote Brother Branham. And when you show them the scripture, no, Brother Branham said so. This is what Brother Branham said. And who are you? What do you know? And there are those preachers that I know. I want you to know. I was with Brother Branham. I ate with him. I went hunting with him. What's the big deal? Huh? Look at Judas Iscariot. He ate with Jesus, right? Isn't that right? Jesus washes his feet. And what do you do? You see, people may have zeal. I know Brother Branham. I know the message. But what do you really know? They have zeal, but no true knowledge. And yet I have people that tell me, Brother Graham, you are so intellectual. Because I'm talking about the Bible. And they are talking about the spoken word book of Brother Branham. Of course, I say, I'm intellectual, all right. Because God is intelligent. And truth I'll review in His Word. Not just spoken word book, Brother Branham is teaching something. Get the truth. Go back to the Bible. And there are those, of course, in the denomination. One of my friends told me, you know, how could the church be wrong? You know, some people don't believe the church can be wrong. The Presbyterian church is so many years. The Baptist church is so many hundreds of years. I mean, which is the oldest church? I mean, man-made church. It's the Catholic church. They cannot be wrong. Huh? And they want you to worship Mary as the Mother of God. And there are people with serious ideas that I've ever come across. Even the entire message. That God asked Joseph to marry Mary. And Mary was a young girl, maybe 16 years old. And Joseph was in his 30 or 40 years old. And then after that, what did God ask her, ask him to marry Mary? Oh, because he was to be a father to Mary. And he doesn't have sex with Mary. After Jesus was born, he was just like a father to her, to take care of her. Wow. What kind of imagination you have then? There are people that believe that. Someone in the Zenta message told me that. They believe that's what it is. He mentioned something about Brother Branham said. Well, you know one thing? It's not what Brother Branham said that counts. Brother Branham can be wrong, and he had been found to be wrong in many places. That's the reason why even Brother Branham said, if whatever I said is not in the scripture, don't believe it. Well, you don't say that, Brother Ken. He's a prophet. He was a prophet, you know. He's vindicated, you know. How dare you say that this? Maybe God will curse you and this and that. Yeah. Maybe I was only now. Maybe there are a lot of people that are happy because I had humor. Now I got health problem, then be rejoicing. There are people like that. Don't you know that? They do. You know. You see, life is not about this body. Life is about the spirit. That God give it to you. That you are quickened. That's what life is all about. You know, the oncologist, well, I don't think he's an oncologist, sorry. So the doctor who reviewed me, you know, I'm going to try to see how he react when I talk about prayer, I talk about, you know, my life, commit to the Lord, this and that. He was kind of quiet. And I don't think he's a religious person. Huh? Yeah, you know what I mean? There are a lot of people, they are not religious because they cannot believe that there is a God. Because they are looking at the flesh, the thing that is physical. If there is a God, why is there this sickness? Why is there this pandemic? Why is this war? Why is this killing? Why are baby born dead? Why are they bombed? Siamese twin. Two heads, one body. You know, you have these many cases. How can they be God? You know, this physical life, the five senses is very deceptive. Do you know what I mean by deceptive? The other day I was sleeping. Again, I hear some noise in my room. They go tick, 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 tick. I said, what on earth is that again? And I thought it was behind me, right? And where my cabinet is. Tick, 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 tick. So I got up. I used a flashlight. I turned on the shine. Couldn't see anything. Tried to see where. Tick, tick, tick. I was sitting on the bed. It was not over there. It was just beside my bed in the basket. My waste paper basket. And I shined the light into the waste paper basket to find out any movement. No. And a tick, 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 tick sound came on going. Oh, kind of strange. So I just wrapped up the plastic bag, wrapped it up, tied it up, and it still got tick, 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 tick inside. I said, if it's a cockroach, it should be running around. If it is a lizard, it will still scatter around, right? But no. So I took it out, walked to the toilet, I think it's about 5 a.m. in the morning, and threw it into the basket. So I wonder what that song is, tick, 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 tick. And my room has a lot of plastic. And I was wondering, is it because the weather, the contraction, the plastic, you know? And sometimes it does. And in my basket, sometimes because I have this plaster, I eat plaster, you know, I put it there, throw it in there, and some plastic bag, small wrapper, throw it in there. So maybe after, you know, you crumble it, you go tick. But the sound is very strange. You go tick, 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 tick all the time. Now, I don't know. So that's why I'm saying the five senses is very deceptive. The tower thing is there, but it's just beside my bed. Huh? And the thing that you taste with your tongue, the taste that you... So describe your taste. You describe your taste in one way, but somebody else describes it something else. To people, durian is a terrible thing. Huh? Durian stings like nothing. But to other people, it's heavenly. So, the sign, the five senses is very deceptive. You don't know. What you see may not be what you see. Huh? Yes. What you hear may not be what you hear. And the problem is the hearing is more important. Take heed what you hear, how you hear. So people have the zeal, but they have no knowledge. How important is knowledge? God said in the Old Testament, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Is knowledge not important? The most important knowledge of all that you need is the Word of God. And knowledge to who God is, the knowledge to who you are. I always wonder how much is God real to you? How real is God to you? You know, this morning, as I said, I already got up, took an egg, eat some cereal, my house was still beating. I went to the room and sit down on my bed, just sit down. I just had to calm myself. You know, the flutter here and there. And if, you know, my mind is just that. I want to be here. But yet this problem is that it made me so sick. So finally I said, out loud. I said, Father, I'll go in the name of Jesus Christ. I will go. It will not keep me from going. And I sat down, and while the heartbeat stopped to drop, circled myself up, ready to go. You know, my problem with this has caused so much problem for Sister Tracy. You know, she has to get things from me the best she can, and she is also not stable in her walk as well, and get things done not that easy. So I try not to burden her. I'll eat whatever she just buys. She said, if I cannot cook for you, just buy. And whatever left over, we eat. She says, okay. That's the reason why sometimes it's for people who are in this condition, they have the money, they go to a place that they stay, they have nurses to take care, they just sit in the clinic or in this, what they call that, the hospital thing, and everything is done for them. Food are cooked in the balance for them. For me, how you deal with something like this? Unless I fly to America, someplace where they have this kind of clinic, and stay there for 2-3 weeks and spend maybe $50,000. And that's why I said that song we sung the first few weeks, a few weeks ago, teach me a lot to wait. Down on my knee. Do it in your own good time. You answer my plea. Teach me a lot not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Yeah, you know all that you want to. Yeah, you got all this knowledge, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. But how do you do it when you don't have that ability by yourself in this condition trying to do that? And there's no one else who could really do it properly for you. And I said, Lord, that will be done. Because I prayed so many times. I think I prayed about 5 times already. I said, that's enough. Yep, there were times that, you know, this flesh takes over you, the feeling of wanting to just get out of this world. But how my spirit just come back because I care for the truth, for the word. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. What was Paul's gain? I mean, you know, when you are the religious person, be you a priest, I mean, be you a rabbi, be whatever you are. You know, you think that, oh, by doing this for the Lord, what he did, of course, persecuting the church, keeping the law, he was blameless, and so on and so on. You think that, well, it was good for him. Because all this money is gain. Or maybe for me. Or maybe I say, all right, Lord. Yeah, I went to different countries. I suffered for you, and the souls of people come to my knowledge. Yes, it's a game, right? Yeah, I count on this, but what good does it do to me? Because this is part of a job. This is part of a service that God put on me to do. Just like when you're employed to do something in your company, that's what you're supposed to do. And this is what I'm supposed to do. I must be at the station here. This is what I do. But is there any gain that says, oh, I should be rewarded for this? No, I have already my reward. What's my reward? You know, when I'm feeding you, when I'm preaching you, I'm teaching you, I rejoice. My heart is full. I'm full. That's my reward. That's I'm happy. So, Paul then, of course, he realized he considered all those things lost for Christ because he had discovered a better reward, a better gain. Yeah, you look at the charismatic preachers. They build the ministry so big. But a lot of times their ministry is based on what? You know, all these pep-up talks, preaching, to make people feel good. And people like to hear a preacher that are funny. And yet give them a good sense of, I feel good today. And then, they got all the money, they build a big house, mansion, they have a jet plane. Wow. They are famous, they are well known. They have all this gain. But I wonder how many of them ever read, seriously read the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Where Jesus said, many will come to me in the last day, Lord, I've done this for you. I preached the gospel for you, I healed the sick. I caused the lame to walk, and so on, and so on, and so on. I went to so many countries, preached the gospel for you. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. And then, the first time when I read that, when I was in the denomination, I said, what is he talking about? I never knew you. When they are preacher, they say, I preach in your name, I cast a demon, right? You don't know me. But see, the problem here is not that. Of course, Jesus doesn't know who they are. But I never have an intimacy with you. Depart from you, you workers of iniquities. And I do not want to put you in the place where you are, you know, in balance with the Word of God. I will be committing iniquity. And that's what Abraham did when he told his wife Sarah, to tell the Pharaoh, to tell Abimelech, that he is not her husband. Asking her to tell a lie. Think about it. That's iniquity. You put her in a wrong place, in a place that caused her, if Pharaoh took her for wife, what happened? She will become a fornicator or adulteress, right? You see. Wonder how many people read Matthew 7, 21, 23. Let's continue. But what things, verse 8. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Oh, yes. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Whatever you have in this life, You know, your education, your degree. I mean, people think that it's some big things, right? I got a degree, I'm a PhD, I got a THG or some degree in something very, what we call high technology, maybe a scientist. And some people are kind of proud about what they have achieved, or maybe a businessman. The high flyers. I mean, Paul may not be like that, but in his own way, as Pharisees, whatever he had done in the name of the law was something for him, was something he think was very excellent. But now he considered all those things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. What's most important for is that we need to know our Lord. Not just like many people say, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I have repented of my sin and Jesus is my Savior. And that's about it. Paul, you will realize one thing. Even though he said that we are saved by grace, right? By the faith that God has given us. Right? It is not the law, it is the grace, it is the faith. But he didn't stop there. You know? You will finally go and move on. Because, you know, he is very serious about the knowledge, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He wants to know more about Jesus, more. The song that we sung once or twice, not very, very highly sing anyway. More about Jesus. More of his love. Right? More about Jesus. A lot of Christians just say, yeah, I know Jesus, he's my Savior. They don't really talk to him much. They don't spend time in the Word much. There's not much of a relationship with their Lord. And he said, I, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Yep, I give all those things up. All the things that I think are very important to me. My great knowledge of the law. You know, the thing that I have achieved Pharisee stage. I was zealous for the Lord. Attaching the law, I'm blameless. Oh, he can claim all these things. But he considered all these things done. Because now he realized the most important thing in life is truly to know Jesus Christ. I saw a lot of people say, I know my Bible. I said, okay. Yeah, I know you know the Bible, but do you know Christ? Remember what Barbara was saying? One woman came up to him. Oh, Ben, you don't know your Bible. Barbara said, yeah, maybe I don't know the Bible, but I know the author real well. Huh? You see, knowledge is one thing. The relationship we have with the author of the Bible is another thing. There are people who are human Bible. They can quote you the Bible just like that. Huh? But do they really have that knowledge with the Savior? You see? Yes. And he found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh. I want someone to read James 2:2. 20 to 26. See how Paul here talks about, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Yes, very far. James 2, 20 to 26.
James chapter 2, verse 20 to 26. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Right. So it is not just believing in Christ, but to really have that righteousness which is of God, by faith which is given to you. Now, what Paul is going to say is exactly what we read in James. You know, let me say, yeah, I have faith. But what is your work? And that's what contradicts the book of Romans. Martin Luther had a hard time. Romans says, faith alone save. But here when you read, it's a bit different. It is not about faith and works. Huh? But it is faith that produces a work, a manifestation. That's a point he's trying to prove this. There are a lot of people who have head knowledge. Look at Branhamism, for example. I want you to know, I believe the message. I have the token. Believing the message doesn't give you the token, you know. How do people have this kind of a understanding? Is it the spoken word versus the written word? Yeah, we know how important is the spoken word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Right? It was spoken. But let me tell you something. People say, spoken word comforts. But let me tell you something. Because you are looking into Genesis. But look beyond Genesis. Look into the book of Ephesians. What do you see in Ephesians? Before God created the world, He counseled with Himself, right? In the beginning was the Word. Before the one and only creation, there was the Word. So was it not written before it was spoken? That's why they said, think before you speak. So what is written in the mind first before you speak? Some people speak without thinking because it's not written, and they just speak rubbish. You get the point. They go to Genesis 1, and the beginning God said, let there be light, and it was light. Spoken word first. Then it was recorded down. Come on. This was recorded down for us on pieces of paper. It was all written in the stars also, right? It was written in the stone also in the pyramids. But before, way back, it was written in the mind of God. Are you getting me? You see, what we have a problem is, people say, I need a message. You know, the song we sing, I hear the eagle scream. You all know the song, huh? Only one stanza. I wrote the second stanza. Because the First stanza is just one stanza. I hear the eagle scream. I hear the midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming in the sky. Right? Lift up your voice and shout. Lift up your wings and fly. The sunset gleam, the eagle scream. He's coming for his bride. I wrote the second one. I hear the eagle scream. I hear the midnight cry. And then, what was it now? Okay, I hear the eagle scream. I spread my wings and fly to where Jehovah eagle is calling in the sky. Here comes the snow white dove. He leads me as I fly. I stay in line. Then the token is mine. You see the thing? If you don't stay in the line of this, where is your token? You don't have it. That second verse was given to me when I was singing that song. It is only one stanza. They need another one to tell the whole story. Alright, everybody talk about the midnight cry, right? Yeah, you know, you can hear midnight cry. Yeah, I heard the midnight cry. There are other songs about the midnight cry. So you hear the midnight cry, what will you do? Huh? That's why our ministry, my ministry, don't give me the eagle scream, the dove leads. And some people say, oh, Brother Gain, you are saying that the eagle is Bob Bram and the dove is you. What is this? You know, you have people like that who are telling things, and this is what we are called a conscription, concision. They don't say, they don't care, they just speak. And they cause trouble all around. Bergen said this, Bergen said that, you know, they said that I said I'm a messenger. I claim to be a messenger. I never did. I wrote the message. What was the message? There is no Elijah. I'm no Elisha. I wrote that because I want to tell people there's no such thing as an Elisha ministry after Elijah. You know, and there's no such thing as an eight messenger. I wrote that way back. And this girl never read the book, of course. And said, I claim this, I claim that to be better than Brother Branham. I come out of Brother Branham. What on earth is that talking about? You know? Well, only thing is that truth will prevail. So let's continue here. Read Romans 6, 3 to 5. Alright, bring fun.
Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Well, that's exactly what it is. In next verse, of chapter 3 verse 10 of Philippians. If we are baptized in water, that means that we identify with Christ in his death. We are dead. We are dead to the things of the world. We are dead to sin. You understand? So when we come up from the water, we are identified with his resurrection. So if we are doing all this identification with him, so what kind of person are we? Read verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Yeah, you know, we all know, I'm a Christian. I know that Jesus died. The fourth thing that happened during his last part of his life. First thing they do, he died. Yes, we know he died. And then we know he was buried. Yes, we know he was buried. And then we know that he resurrected. Yes, we know he resurrected. And the fourth thing we know, we know that he was seen by the apostles and the disciples. Yeah, and all that, right? If we all know that. But the question here, Paul is going to say is that that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Not just know Jesus, but the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul is coming to the place, I don't think that I can go through for today, but maybe I'll go to the next verse, then I'll end. Here, what Paul is trying to say is that there is a power in the resurrected Christ. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We say, yeah, we know this, we know he died, we know he was buried, resurrected, and all that. But do we know his suffering? You know, if a person got pneumonia, and if I had to breathe, and then he passed away. Okay, that's only because it's very difficult to breathe. You probably on oxygen, you breathe, okay? Until your heart gives way. But when you have physical pain, like the one that Jesus had, the mental torture, you know, the conflict that is in him. Because he doesn't want to die. That's why he prayed 3 times. And the Father remained silent. Because of all is written in the Word. You have to die. You know, the death, a horrible death. Now, dying is one thing, you know, where if you have a head cut off or a knife stuck into your heart, but you are being whipped and all the laceration, and they put crowns of thorns on your head and then nailed to the cross. A nail that hit into your waist, wrist here. Now some people say it's here, right? But more likely it's here because that's where it's for. And then on your foot, on your feet, one nail each. And you're being suffocated. Hanging there. Naked. Completely naked for the world to see. Wow, the shame. That's what the Bible said. Jesus will make shame for you and me. Because you understand, when God looked at him, well, Jesus said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Literally, we were saying the Father couldn't bear to look at it. Because the likeness of the Son bearing the sins of the world. Wow, the filth that was there on him. The Father put that on the Son to bear that burden. Think of it. The suffering that he went through. Jesus Christ, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Do we have fellowship with that suffering of his? Do you know how much he suffered? Yeah. You know, as I said, many of them just, when you have time, just be alone in the room, meditate, just meditate upon the passion of Christ, the last moment of Christ. Just meditate. And experience what he went through. Oh, many times just enter into that. But so I can say, I love him more and more. Because I'm yours, Lord, because I'm yours. I'll bless thee. You know, I praise thee and I bless thee. It's because I'm yours. I bless thee and I love thee because I'm yours. Because what you've done for me. And as Paul said, this is the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I count all the things that I have as dung. Hebrews 13:13.
Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach.
Outside the camp. Jerusalem. proceeding, they rejected him. He wasn't crucified in a religious city. Jesus was crucified outside of a religious city. Let us get away from all this religious camp. I want to say that. Let's just get outside and just to be with Christ. In verse 11, I'll close with this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to close with this, but I will come back next week with it. This is one verse here that have people kind of debate about what Paul was saying. You have read many places in the scripture the word resurrection, right? But this word here, resurrection, is the only word of this kind. It is, in all the Bible you read about resurrection, in the Greek word is anastasi. A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-S. Anastasi. But this word here is not that. It is ex-anastasi. Yes. The only one word that Paul used. And this word has meaning the kind of people are wondering, was Paul talking about spiritual over moral, or was he talking about something else? Now, in human life, everybody in the world go about their business. People are saying, oh, the morality of things, right? The moral of things. And, but in a world that is, well, debating over moral and immorality, morality and immorality, how much is there about? You know, this kind of thing, look at the world today. Is homosexual okay? Well, the community said, we don't want it. And the other community said, hey, who are you to say you don't want it? I want to do what I want. And then all about drugs. Oh, no drugs. You know, papers recently about Thailand or this cannabis issue. Even a policeman, he went and killed children. Morality. You can have your moral. But the problem is, was Paul talking about spiritual above moral? You know, your opinion of what is right, what is wrong, is religious. Because there's no why the world is fought on religious ground. Huh? The West said, this is our moral, the standard for the world. China is not, because it's communist. Russia is not. India is not. Maybe they say it's Hindu. Africa is not because they are not continent. What is that? So they fought about your ideology. So now they're fighting about all these LGBT or whatever, and then you have the drug issue. Morality. All these are religious things. Maternity is one thing. That's why I say, keep away from religion. I don't want you to be religious. I've told you many times. Be one place up. Spiritual. Be spiritual, not religious. Moral, religion, you have to be up. Look at what Paul is talking about in one sense. Okay? But here the other thing is that, what was Paul talking about? Let's read again. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, translation is like that, but translation is not the way, as it is so simple to translate from one language to another. In what I found out is that the expression here of Paul means that I might attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. not of the dead. There will be a resurrection of the dead, right? But Paul said that I'm attained to the out resurrection. That means a resurrection, but another resurrection out of this resurrection. Come on. Huh? A rapture other than just a resurrection. Because the Bible said there will be a resurrection for the pure, for the Christian, and a resurrection for the sinners. In fact, there are also a resurrection for who? For the Jew that would die in the tribulation. Correct? There are different kind of resurrection. But Paul then made, I might attain to the out resurrection. A taking away, a snatching away, something other than just a resurrection. So that's what the rapture is about. So then this verse that Paul is talking about seems to point to that. Either the first one, the out resurrection, or the second one that you want to be in resurrection. Ex anastasi. A resurrection out of resurrection. One from among the dead, not the dead. Yeah? So, the way the Paul is trying to explain like this, make it interesting for us to understand. And I believe that's the reason why there must be a catching away. And this catching away, as even denomination believe, that there's going to be one. But the thing is this, it will be a secret. And I always realized that, even as Bob Benson, it was a secret. You read the Bible, you find that all resurrection are secret, not known to the world. When Jesus resurrected, he only appeared to the disciples. Appeared to the woman first, and then the disciples said, cannot be even Thomas. Right? Until Christ appeared to them, right? There was a resurrection. Even the ascension was a secret. The going up. A resurrection, they come up. Jesus came up from the grave, right? That's a resurrection. Ascension is going up. So what the Bible said about us. In a moment, your finger of us will be changed. Okay, then we'll be cut up to be together with the dead in Christ. We'll meet Christ in the air. A resurrection, then going up. We'll call that ascension. We're going up with Him. Going up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And it's a secret. The world will not know it, but the denomination don't realize it. The denomination think that, you'll be in a bus, you'll be in a train, you'll walk around, you just disappear, your trousers will drop off, and scare the hell out of people. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be a secret. That's why, he disappeared, nobody knows. Isn't that true? Yes. And then here we have the Bible when Jesus got resurrected on that day. The Bible said the grave opened and many saints went into Jerusalem city and were seen by many. Who are these many? And when the Bible said the grave opened, don't go and look into the grave and see all the grave open up. The coffin will pop up. It doesn't mean that. Grave open means the grave keep up the dead. And then they walk into the city of Jerusalem. Only people who are identified with the truth will see them. They would not know who this person is walking around. You understand what I mean? They wouldn't know. And there will be witness. There will be witness by a believer who saw them and identified. And that's the reason why we are looking for that day when the thunder will sound. They give out the rapturing faith, and the dead in Christ will rise. But they are not going around walking and knocking on every door. They will appear to those who are His to make us to realize that we are going. There must be. There must be something, as Bob mentioned. We need to hear the voice of the thunders. We need that for that to give us a rapturing faith. Because we don't even have faith to be healed now. much more than talk about rapturing faith. How do we just disappear? No. That's the reason why the thing is, for Paul further talk in the rest of the verse, the importance of going forward. Keep on going. Don't say, oh, I know Christ, and you stay there. No. You move forward. You run the race. That's how important that is. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for the word of truth, Lord. And asking that you bless so far the rest of the day now. We come in what has been shared today into your hand, Lord. You break down further to your people, Father. Those that are hungry for truth, Lord, that they may be benefited by the knowledge of the word of God and to really know Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the suffering that he went through. Lord, I pray that you bless the people. I ask the Father in Jesus' name. Amen.